Speaking the truth to the state capitol, this is Drive Time Lincoln with the commander, Jack Riggins, on the voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
Hey, we made it to Friday afternoon. Welcome to DTL. This is Dan Parsons. I have the pleasure of guest hosting again tonight. Johnny, I didn't screw things up too bad that you didn't invite me back after last night.
Well, I was ready to go again with you today.
So. I appreciate it. Well, listen, I am thrilled to talk to a couple folks here in the studios today. And Johnny, you remember I called this this episode today the Blue Moon episode, because yep. Only once in a blue moon do you get a couple of elected officials from opposing parties in the same room that agree on something.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying, not to be mistaken with the beer, although we're not going to bash on the Blue Moon beer either.
No, it's a lovely, lovely beer. Well, just to pick up on where I left off yesterday, talking about my career as a public relations consultant, and, you know, I've told stories and shaped messages for years for Republicans and Democrats and independents, and I think, like many people that I talk to anymore, many of us have grown tired of this tribal, us versus them, win at any cost style of politics. So I wanted to invite into the studio two Lincoln State senators, and even though the Nebraska legislature, where you guys put your time in, is nonpartisan, which means the body's not organized and run by political parties. But anyway, our guest, let me introduce our guest, State Senator Elliot Bostar, elected to the Nebraska legislature for District 29 in 2020. Elliot, Senator, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having me today, Dan.
Yeah. And sitting next to you, State Senator, newly minted State Senator, Bo Ballard. Bo represents District 21, was appointed to the Nebraska legislature just in January to replace Mike Hilgers, who was elected as our Nebraska Attorney General. So, Senator Ballard, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Dan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, yeah. And I assume you get this a lot, because I know your dad.
And, is that good or bad?
No, it's great.
Okay.
I think your dad's a great person. But I used to get this a lot with my kids growing up, and people would say, oh, you're Dan Parsons' daughter, son. And it didn't take long. And I suspect by the time this legislative session is over, people will stop saying, hey, are you, your dad? People will start asking your dad, oh, you're Senator Ballard's dad.
He actually got that for the first time last month, and it was kind of a shock to him. He didn't know how to respond, but his horse said, yeah, I know my son, Bo. So,
well, I like that. Well, listen, let's just dive right in, because we got a busy day. And by the way, coming up in the second segment, we will have Congressman Mike Flood joining us. And again, we're keeping with that Blue Moon theme. Congressman Flood, a registered Republican, and State Senator Elliot Bostar is going to stick around for the second segment.
That's right.
So we're going to talk with the congressman coming up. But right now, let's talk, you know, what I really appreciate about the two of you's career path and now working in the legislature, you do get to work on issues that you both care about. And I think this dovetails really nicely with my guests from last week. We had Jason Ball from State Chamber, or excuse me, from the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce in, talking about their new Vitality Lincoln, survey, their new strategic plan, which you guys are zeroing in on some of those goals in a legislative fashion and making things happen. So let's chat about some of the things that is uniting people in the legislature and making hopefully Lincoln an even better place to live and work.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Dan, and thank you for that introduction. It's you know, we're lucky to be working, Senator Ballard and I, in the Nebraska legislature, where it is officially nonpartisan. Because, you know, as we see across the country, so much of this is, well, frankly, falling apart.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the opportunities that we have in the Nebraska legislature to set aside a lot of the division that we see consuming so much of American politics, and have the ability to really focus in on what's going to improve the lives of Nebraskans. In our cases, in particular with our constituents, the lives of Lincolnites.
Yeah. Well, and it is a unique system. It's a unique body, as I think our listeners understand. It's the only nonpartisan one-house legislature in America. The father of that idea, George Norris, thought it was a pretty darn good idea. And here we are all these decades later, and we get a lot done.
Yeah, absolutely. And 100-foot level view of Lincoln priorities, because, you know, a lot of what Senator Ballard and I are working on and have been working really closely on and trying to address are the priorities of Lincoln. And those have been determined in partnership and collaboration with the Lincoln Chamber, as you mentioned, as well as business leaders and stakeholders from across our city. And, you know, it's a wide range, but it involves things like securing water for our city, because we know we're going to need that coming up, and we have to start developing our second water source, frankly, immediately. And East Beltway legislation brought by Senator Ballard, I'm sure he'll be happy to share more about that.
I would love to.
Nice. Nice.
Housing. And, you know, ensuring we have more affordable housing in our city. And then, you know, sort of rounding out the list is looking to develop a convention center for the city of Lincoln. A lot of, we see several convention centers across our state. Some are in smaller communities in Lincoln.
Yep.
And, it's an important component, that we should be looking toward in order to really realize the vision and the potential of our community.
Yeah, and Senator Ballard, I know that that East Beltway is, you know, starting to be talked about, because it took us a while to build the Beltway that we just opened a few months ago. It took decades, literally decades, and so. Chat about that. Tell us, was that, first of all, was that your first piece of legislation that you introduced?
That was one of my first pieces of legislation. Right. It was a learning experience. But no, like you said, Dan, we've had this conversation about the South and East Beltway for over 40 years.
Yeah.
And Lincoln and Lincolnites can't wait another 20 or 30 years to build the East Beltway. It's critical to the growth of our community. It is, Omaha has their own Beltway system. And I think as Lincoln grows north and east and south, I think it's absolutely imperative. Working with chairwoman of the Transportation and Telecommunication Meet, Suzanne Geist, has been instrumental in this process.
Yeah.
She's a big proponent of building the East Beltway and getting it done, and look forward to continuing the conversation. So
we chatted a little bit before we came on. You guys have a pretty challenging session, because so far nothing has been passed, and we don't need to get into the reasons for that. It's a crazy culture war. Things are going on, but again, the purpose of this Blue Moon show is to talk about things that we agree on and things that we can maybe get over across the finish line. But so where is that bill? And of course, this is the first session of the biennium, and so, you know, if we don't get it done this session, we can lay it over and hopefully get it done next session. But
yeah.
What's your anticipation, Senator Ballard, on where that bill is at and where we're headed?
Yeah, kind of like you're saying, Dan, that we're there's not a ton of legislation getting through the body right now, but we're working through that. So the bill is still alive. We're working with the Appropriations Committee to try to find funding for that bill.
Yeah.
Working with the governor's office and the Department of Transportation, trying to get that prioritized and put it at the top of the list, because it's something that Lincolnites want. And I think it's not just good for Lincoln, but good for Southeast Nebraska and Nebraska as a whole.
Well, and the cooperation, and again, that's key, between governmental agencies and governmental bodies, between the county and the state and the city, all and federal, if there's federal funds available, which, you know, hopefully there is. So to be able to work across not only political lines, but geographic and legislative bodies, to be able to push that across the finish line.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's critical. It's the collaboration with Senator Bo Starr and Senator Wisher and other, That's one thing I did learn, that the Lincoln delegation in the New Carmel, we punch above our weight class.
Absolutely.
We have a cohesive message of we're trying to grow Lincoln and grow our community, and we're working together regardless of political parties or ideologies, that we're trying to get things done for our community.
Yeah, very good. Senator Bostar, water 2.0, again, a crucial long-term, very expensive project. But again, we have to have that critical thinking and forward thinking if we're going to continue to grow this city.
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. And, you know, the modeling demonstrates, shows us that in the 2040s, we're almost certainly going to be seeing water shortages. And so as we talk about acquiring a second source of water for Lincoln as a Lincoln priority, I think it's important to also frame that in the appropriate context, which is that this is a priority for the entire state. And, and I mean that in a couple ways. The first is Southeast Nebraska is going to need water. So as we secure more water for Lincoln, the communities surrounding Lincoln, and we have a lot of interest, by the way, from communities surrounding Lincoln, can tap into Lincoln's water supply, so we can share that.
And you can share the costs.
Yes. And as well as we, you know, we look at going eastward for our second source of water, you know, the water pipeline that's going to have to be built, communities along that route in all across, you know, Southeast Nebraska will be able to access that as well. And so it's important from that regard. But broader even than that is, this matters across the entire state, because the reality is, if Lincoln were to get into a position where we had a water shortage and we did everything we could to alleviate that internally within our city, so putting in, you know, internal water restrictions, and it still wasn't enough, Lincoln has the ability to put a call on the river, exercise their water rights.
On the Missouri River.
On the Platte River.
On the Platte, where we currently have ours.
Yep, which is our water. Our water comes from a well field up up by Ashland along the Platte River. And so Lincoln has the authority, and it's granted to us in the state constitution, to have a supreme water right over agricultural producers. And so from Lincoln to the Wyoming border, those that are using the Platte River in-stream flows for their irrigation purposes could be at risk if we ran into a water shortage of effectively being shut off.
Yeah.
And if that happened in the middle of the summer,
in irrigation season.
It would be devastating.
Yes, it would.
And so we have to make sure that we are doing everything we can to make sure that we are not imperiling the agricultural engine of our state, and that we are protecting our ag producers, because we do not ever want to be in a position where we have to choose between drinking water for Lincoln and ensuring that our agricultural economy is healthy.
Because the thought is, this new idea is to get, instead of from the Platte River, to go to the Missouri River.
Yeah. So the primary consideration is to absolutely go to the Missouri River, and actually develop water treatment facilities at the river, so that what we are pumping from the Missouri to Lincoln is all potable water, not raw water. That way communities along the route can tap into it without having to bear additional burdens of developing their own water treatment. So we've been really cognizant of how to develop this plan to best benefit our region of the state. And we're also, you know, of course, the legislature has been looking at developing a water reservoir between Lincoln and Omaha.
Yeah.
And so we're also examining what ways that could benefit or impact Lincoln's water future.
And would also have some recreation use as well.
Correct.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, Senator Elliott Bostar, Senator Bo Ballard, one has an R behind his name and one has a D behind his name, but not in the Nebraska legislature, because it's a nonpartisan body. But I wanted to have both these gentlemen on here tonight as an example to others in elected positions that people from opposing parties can certainly work together to find solutions. And coming up in the second segment of the show, we'll be joined by Congressman Mike Flood to talk about some other issues that Senator Bostar is working with him on. And so it's probably time to take a quick little break before we continue this conversation. So come back. Senator Bostar, Senator Ballard will be here. 1499.3 KLIN.
You're getting the 411 from DTL with Commander Jack Riggins on 1499.3 KLIN.
Welcome back to the Friday edition of DTL. I'm Dan Parsons, and joining me in studio, Senator Elliot Bostar and Senator Bo Ballard, both Lincoln State Senators, working together, side by side, in the Nebraska legislature. Let's talk about a couple more issues the remaining time we have here in this segment. Senator Ballard, housing is obviously a very important issue to Nebraskans across the state, but here in Lincoln it's been talked about, the need for more affordable housing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's we have a housing issue in Lincoln that needs affordable housing. It's critical for workforce, for individuals in my district, a lot of manufacturing plants in my district, yeah, that have trouble finding workers purely based on housing. It's something that we need to address in the Nebraska legislature, and to benefit not only Lincoln but Nebraska.
Yeah. Well, before we run out of time, I really wanted to talk about the convention center legislation. I'm fortunate enough to sit on the task force that is encouraging that issue, a collaborative effort between the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce and Downtown Lincoln Association. Here's my t-shirt I'm wearing. Johnny, just in case you thought I was wearing a DTL t-shirt, this is Downtown Lincoln.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see DTL.
Yeah. So anyway, so an important issue. So tell us about where we're at with the convention center bill in the legislature.
Yeah. So two bills were introduced this session to help make the creation of a convention center in Lincoln a reality. One piece of legislation was introduced by Senator Anna Wishart into the Banking, Commerce, and Insurance Committee. And another piece of legislation was introduced by myself into the Revenue Committee. The first one is essentially an appropriation request to support the development of the convention center. The second one, my bill, is a turnback tax bill that would redirect sales taxes expended within an area into the development of this, so that it's sort of a self-supporting system. And I'm going to let Senator Ballard talk a little about it, because Senator Ballard, I'm very thankful for this, designated the Lincoln Convention Center turnback bill as his priority bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It was kind of going back to that Blue Moon segment of, I prioritized the turnback tax from Senator Bostar. Regardless of political party, I thought it was a good piece of legislation to get the convention center done, and I think it's critical for Lincoln.
Okay, thank you, Senator Ballard. Thank you, Senator Bostar. Senator Bostar will be back, and we'll be back with Congressman Mike Flood after the break.
Drive Time Lincoln with the Commander Jack Riggins on the Voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
Welcome back to DTL. I'm Dan Parsons, and the next segment of the show, I'm thrilled to introduce, in keeping with our theme of Blue Moon Friday, because every once in a while, in a blue moon, you get two elected officials from opposing parties that agree on something. And we've got that in spades today. On the phone joining us is Congressman Mike Flood. Congressman, thank you for joining us.
Hey, good to be on.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And listen, I know your schedule's nuts, and so I appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk with us today. But our mutual friend, Senator Elliot Bostar, is sitting next to me, and Elliot tells me it's no secret that you guys have worked together in the past and continue to have interests in not only legislation, but you know, moving things forward for the state of Nebraska in a cooperative effort. So, Elliot, you want to tee this up and further, maybe better, introduce the topic here with Congressman Flood.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Dan, and thank you, and Congressman Flood. It's good to hear you on. So, you know, more than a few months ago at this point, but actually a while ago. You know, Congressman Flood and I were talking about just different issues facing our state. And it was, you know, really Congressman Flood really primarily brought to my attention a lot of the threats that exist from China facing Nebraskans. And in a number of ways, our national security and the protection and security of Nebraskans are absolutely currently being put at risk by the Chinese government. And from there, there are things that we're doing on the state level, things that are happening on the federal level that Congressman Flood is acutely involved in. And so I guess I will turn it over at the moment to Congressman Flood.
Yeah, so, you know, I had the benefit of being in the legislature for 2 years with Senator Bostar. We sat on two committees together. We had the opportunity to work on a lot of different bipartisan and just Nebraska issues. At the end of the day, it's about building a better state. When I got to Congress, and I visited off at Air Force Base, I visited with the Department of Commerce, I knew before the balloon ever showed up over Nebraska that every single day the Chinese Communist Party is working to steal our intellectual property, to spy in on and get the data of Americans so that they can use the data to divide us while they eye invading Taiwan and advancing their cause to become the world's superpower. And it came to my attention during one of those visits to a military installation in Nebraska that there are cellular companies across this nation, including some in Nebraska, that have, through the normal course of business, bought a product from Huawei equipment that is actually used in cell phone towers, and all of that data is taken and given back to the Chinese Communist Party. And people say, oh, no, there's a firewall. There's no firewall. If you are a Chinese company, their law says any data that you get through technology goes back to the CCP. So I let Elliot know about this. I said I was working on it on the federal level. I immediately worked with him, and I said, you know, there's no reason the state universal service fund should be aiding any company that has this equipment. He took it from there. He put the bill together. He had it all put together. I testified on behalf of his bill, and I know he's worked very hard to get it passed, and I think we're going a good direction.
Well, that's outstanding, Congressman. And yes, I assume the concern is that some of those cell towers are probably situated somewhere near Offutt Air Base.
Well, even bigger than Offutt, you know, right now there are missile silos all over western Nebraska, yeah, all over Wyoming, South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, up into North Dakota. And these are in sensitive areas. Those missile silos are kind of overseen by the air base at Cheyenne, Wyoming. And you have, you know, very important nuclear triad assets that are strategic defense deterrence assets, and we need to do everything we can to make sure that we're safe. And we've got 10,000 people a day going to Offutt. When I told Elliot about this, he was like, oh, let's work on this together. And our goal isn't to punish anybody that has a cell phone company. We need all the good cell phone service we can.
Absolutely.
We need this equipment out of Nebraska and out of the United States.
Yeah, and I assume there are other suppliers that can provide those parts.
Absolutely.
And equipment that are not made in China. So, Senator Bostar, you introduced that legislation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the legislation that was introduced would do a few things. Initially, as introduced, it would have removed basically state funding for telecommunications companies that are utilizing equipment that has been deemed to be a threat to national security by the federal government. Because we have, you know, we have a lot of different programs on the federal level, on the state level, that take public funds, state funds, federal funds, and distribute that to telecom companies in order to assist in their development. It's their subsidies, their public subsidies. And the bill says, no, not for this. If your network is compromised, if your network is endangering Nebraskans, you should not receive public funds from the state of Nebraska. And the other piece that the other way that the bill helps is it removes barriers for telecommunications companies that do have this compromised equipment in their network. It removes barriers that exist that would have made it harder for them to remove and replace this equipment. So we want to make it easy for them to get rid of this equipment and replace it. And we also want to say, no, the state of Nebraska should not be putting public funds into a network that is currently and actively endangering the national security of our country and our state.
Yeah, that just is common sense, I think. And Congressman Flood, as I understand, you actually asked for a briefing, a confidential briefing from the U.S. Secretary of Commerce about this issue.
I did, and I received that classified briefing just about 2 weeks ago. And what I can tell you is that the Department of Commerce is focused in on this issue. You're going to see this investigation produce some results that I think when they release the facts, people will understand the reasons that we're making this a priority. You know, a lot of people I know are frustrated that the U.S. government is talking about banning TikTok. When you have the benefit to see what they're doing with the information, where it's going, what China's doing, I think that, you know, Americans understand that our national security comes first. And, you know, what I tell groups, especially I talked to a group of fifth graders the other day, and I said, it's not that we don't want you to enjoy TikTok or Facebook or whatever it is. Or, you know, this is only concerning a company that, you know, the CCP controls. What we don't want is that them collecting significant data on Americans and then using that to create and sow division and disrupt our networks and our systems and our infrastructure. And so at the end of the day, all this is about keeping us safe and making sure that, you know, living in Nebraska, we enjoy the good life without the kind of threats that the people in Ukraine have right now. And we certainly don't want to be in a situation where we compromise our national security. And that's why it's so good to work with Senator Bostar on this. And, you know, this isn't the first time we've worked together on an issue, and I'm sure it won't be the last.
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of folks these last several months have maybe not taking these issues quite as seriously. Because, again, I mean, the whole balloon thing was it almost became a caricature, if you will. And obviously, when people talk about TikTok, you know, what do you mean my 12-year-old kid is at threat of becoming, you know, a member of the Communist Party? You know, we're flippant, I think, and we don't take some of these issues seriously because, well, I don't, you know, for whatever reasons. But I appreciate, Congressman, the relationship you have maintained with some of your former colleagues in the Nebraska legislature, because you did serve, you know, two stints in the legislature and was Speaker of the legislature. And, you know, those ties are very valuable for the state of Nebraska. So thank you. Thank you for making good use of those ties. And again, in the spirit of the Nebraska legislature, reaching across party lines and being able to work together to solve problems.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, that's what Americans and Nebraskans expect. So thank you so much for having me on tonight. Good to visit with you. And Elliot, good to have you on there, too.
Thanks, Congressman.
Congressman, thank you very much. We will hopefully talk to you again.
Thank you soon. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. Well, let's continue this conversation, Elliot, because there are other important issues that you can point to that you do work with people from different parties, and to be able to, again, I think the Nebraska legislature, it's so unique, and I think, you know, obviously, you guys are going through a pretty rough and tumble session this year because of, and we've talked about this, some of the culture issues, but You know, I think nonpartisanship makes senators more equal and more independent. And instead of the party leaders having the only meaningful voices in the body, like other, you know, like our U.S. Congress and other elected bodies across the country, we have a unique system.
No, we absolutely do. And I'm going to respond to that. I just wanted to add one last thing about one of the primary functions of this legislation. We've been working with our federal partners on the legislation to protect Nebraskans from foreign espionage that's taking place. And the federal government's taking steps to address this. We are now taking steps to address this. And truly, we want this to be a model for other states to replicate, because it's that important.
Yeah.
And that message has even come from our federal partners. They want to see this effort be successful, and so that other states can look to it and copy it, emulate it.
Well, model legislation that is actually doing something positive for a change.
And now to get to what you brought up before, yes, absolutely. You know, I'm not sure I would want to do this job if it wasn't in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And, you know, while we are absolutely officially a nonpartisan legislative body, the members are registered in political parties. But what I'll say is the vast majority of the legislation that we produce, that gets signed into law by the governor in the state of Nebraska, was passed by an overwhelmingly bipartisan vote. It's the exception, not the rule, that votes in Nebraska go by party line. They absolutely do not. Mm-hmm. When they do, that's what's rare.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of what we do, almost all of the law we make, overwhelmingly nearly all of the legislators in our body agree with.
Well, and I think this is evident of just, and I've not heard or seen this interaction between you and Congressman Flood, but I've heard about this bromance maybe that you guys have. Is that a weird statement? But no, it's because you refer to each other by your first names. And I understand you're colleagues, you work together, you served in the legislature together. But you have those ties to have Congressman Flood now in Washington and to be able to take advantage of those relationships. I just think that collegial relationship that you have is impressive. And that doesn't mean you agree on everything, obviously not.
Right.
Every day, but at the end of the day, you can still find things to work together on and move the state forward.
Yeah, no, of course. And the reality is most individuals that are working in elected office in Nebraska agree on the goals. Really.
Yeah, otherwise, why are you doing the gig?
The difference is how we get there. Yeah. And there are disagreements. And there are some deep disagreements that happen, too. But like I said, you know, that really is the exception. That's what's rare. Now, granted, that's generally what gets covered in the media. That's what people want to focus in on. Because, you know, to be honest, it's a little boring. It's a little boring. Yes. If I were to come in and say, you know what, actually, it's most of what we do is
puppy dogs and rainbows.
It's pretty easy. You know, we'll compromise on bills. We'll try to make each other's work better, and we'll get it passed with 40 plus votes in the legislature. There's only 49 of us in there. That's the reality, though. But a lot of time gets spent on focusing on the things that are, you know, the most divisive. And I think that does a disservice to Nebraskans, too, because I think it should be more understood that we really are working together on a lot of issues to do what's best for Nebraskans and to solve the problems that are front and center in the lives of our communities.
Well, and that's right, Senator, because, you know, there are obviously things that you have to get done. You got to pass a budget. You've got, you know, certain things that need to get done. But at the end of the day, you can accomplish a lot more if you continue to work together. Well, listen, let's take a quick break before we finish out the show. Thank you to Congressman Mike Flood, and thank you to Senator Elliot Bostar. But stick around, Elliot. We'll kick off the weekend and end the show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. 1400 KLIN and 99.3.
You're getting the 411 from DTL with Commander Jack Riggins on 1400 and 99.3 KLIN.
Hey, welcome back to the Friday edition of DTL. I'm Dan Parsons, and joining me in studio is State Senator Elliot Bostar. And Elliot, let's put a bow on the Chinese topic that we've been chatting about. It's a pleasure to have Congressman Mike Flood. Thank you for making that happen, Senator. So in the few remaining moments we have here, first of all, where is that bill in the legislature?
Yeah, so the bill has been advanced out of committee. It's sitting on general file, okay. And it is priority designated legislation.
Okay.
So it's now just a question of scheduling.
Yeah.
And you know, if we will have the time to get to it. But yeah, so you know, wrapping up the conversation, there's really two things that I really want to make clear.
Yeah.
One is that the threat is real. And it's serious, and we need to be doing things about it to ensure that Nebraskans and Americans are protected. The second piece that I want to mention is that the threat is coming from the Chinese government.
Yeah, the Communist Party,
yes,
that runs the government.
The Chinese state itself.
Yeah.
Where it's not coming from are the everyday Chinese citizens or Chinese immigrants.
Yeah.
That should not be the focus of our concern or fear or action. We need to make sure we're putting it where it matters.
Yeah, well, that's well said. And, you know, as we wrap up here, I just want to thank Caleb and the management for giving me the mic. Shoot, 3 days I've had this mic. And so thank you guys for the opportunity. And it's been a pleasure. And listen, tune in next week and have a great weekend. DTL, 1400 KLIN and 99.3. Have a great weekend.